The U.S. considers targeted sanctions against Myanmar. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said last week he held military leaders responsible for the Rohingya crisis.
What's most important to us is that the world can't just stand idly by and be witness to the atrocities that are being reported in the area.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. U.S. engagement was key to ending Myanmar's isolation after 50 years of military rule, and Washington is once again flexing its financial muscle to isolate the country's military. More than 600,000 Rohingya Muslims have left since August, saying they were targeted by military operations. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains.
The U.S. says it will no longer allow any Burmese units and officers involved in the northern Rakhine state to participate in any U.S. assistance programs, effectively cutting off military assistance to them. And the U.S. also says it's considering economic sanctions against targeted individuals associated with the violence. It's looking at using the global Magnitsky sanctions against offending individuals. The sanctions allow for visa bans and asset freezes and were originally designed in 2012 to target Russians guilty of human rights abuses. But since 2016, they've been extended to cover human rights violators in any country. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up 7 points, or 0.22%, as the Communist Party Congress ended. Members voted unanimously to include President Xi Jinping's name and ideology in the constitution, a move that bolsters his power, putting him on par with the party's founder, Mao Zedong. European shares are mixed, with the FTSE 100 down 2 points, or 0.03%. HSBC shares are wobbling after a jury found one of the company's former UK execs guilty of defrauding a client in a currency deal. Now, earlier this year, China closed its state-sanctioned ivory carving factories and retail outlets. Today, more good news. The latest CITES report says a record amount of illegal ivory was seized last year, and poaching in East Africa appears to have leveled off. The BBC's Alistair Leithhead has more from Nairobi.
The good news is that after a 10-year surge in elephant poaching across Africa, the level of killing for ivory is on the decline, particularly in East Africa, which has lost half its elephants in the last decade. But the animals are still being killed across the continent, and elephant numbers continue to fall, according to a report from CITES, which regulates trade in endangered plants and animals. It said 40 tons of ivory were recovered in a record number of seizures last year, perhaps because of better awareness and law enforcement, but also because ivory is being trafficked in smaller quantities. There's been an increase in the amount of ivory being carved into bangles and pendants in Africa, rather than just being exported to Asia as tusks, which are easier to intercept. CITES Secretary General John Scanlon said the global collective effort is starting to reap positive results. But, he added, we're certainly not there yet. In Nairobi, I'm the BBC's Alistair Leithhead for Marketplace.
India has the world's most prolific film industry. More than 1,500 movies are made every year. But tonight, the curtain rises on a rare theatre production. The BBC's Davina Gupta reports on the iconic Bollywood film adapted for the stage.
I am inside Delhi's central auditorium, which will be packed with 2,000 people in just 2 hours to bring to life Bollywood's most iconic film, Mughal-e-Azam, on this stage. 29-year-old Neha is practicing hard. She plays the protagonist, dressed in the traditional costume of an orange skirt, which has embossed golden flowers and a glittery yellow top.
All the jewellery that we wear is uncut diamonds. Manish ji has really tried to, you know, use real fabrics, and he's used can-can to, you know, make it look more grand and everything.
Ironically, in a country where over 1,500 movies are made each year, theatre companies are often struggling to make money. Mughal-e-Azam is one of the rare productions which has received financial backing of more than $1 million. The director of this musical, Firoz Abbas Khan, believes each effort counts as they try to revive the fortunes of the theatre industry.
I think that this one will open up more of the imagination and perhaps more of the purses of the people who felt that, you know, theatre is not the place to be.
Local vendors, like the 50-year-old Ashok, who is a carpenter in this small shop in India's financial capital, Mumbai, have been able to find jobs with the theatre company.
After Mughal Azam, we have got more work and we are getting paid more.
India's classic love story is getting a new lease of life. And it's the performers, the producers and the prop artists who are realizing the stage could be theirs once again.
Devina Gupta in Delhi on the stage production of Mughal-e-Azam, a love story between a Mughal prince and a court dancer. Finally, how long is your daily commute? Mine ran 90 minutes door to door. A new study in the UK says each 20-minute increase in commuting time is as bad as a 19% pay cut for job satisfaction. You could compensate by enjoying our podcast. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.